Hockey West Live. College Hockey West Live is brought to you by Jesse Ray's Barbecue. Lunch before the game, the best in barbecue, Las Vegas style. 300 North Golden Highway in Henderson. For the NCHC and NCHC.tv. Subscribe to NCHC.tv to watch the best in college hockey since 2013. Caesars Entertainment Resorts and Casinos, whether it's Las Vegas or any of our other worldwide properties, an iconic location awaits you at any of our destinations. The Spaghetti Shack, classic Italian comfort food quickly, with two locations in Tempe and one in High Top. Order online at thespaghettishack.com. Liberty University, play for something more. Faith, education, and hockey at liberty.edu. By FedEx, the official delivery company of Ice Time Hockey West. And by the Caesars Sportsbook app, proud partner of the NHL. College Hockey West Live from the NCHC.tv studios is a part of the IceTimeHockeyWest.com network. Here are your hosts, Scott Strandy and Paul Hornstein.
All right, well, welcome in, hockey fans, to a very noisy Centene Community Ice Center in St. Louis, Missouri. Scott Strandy with you, just outside here in the lobby as we're tracking the final quarterfinal round of the ACHA M1 National Tournament. But tonight, it's about NCAA hockey, College Hockey West Live. My co-host, as always, joining me from the big, beautiful Palatial State out on Long Island, New York. Paul, how are things, and how am I coming through for you?
It's nice. I like the nice ambient noise in the background.
Yeah, well, there's plenty of it. Let me tell
what I should have done is had a separate teaser, like it would have been like from the mobile NCHC.tv studios.
Yeah, nice one.
Right?
Yeah. I'm all for that.
Okay,
so as I said, I'm here at the Centene Community Ice Center. It's unique in the fact it's hosting the national tournament for the ACHA for the next 5 years. But in addition to that, Paul, it's going to be the home of a regional for the NCAA tournament in about 2 weeks, 3 weeks, something like that. So kind of neat that I'm here now and maybe back again.
Well, you can get a feel for what...
Well, I've got a feel, all right.
Because Denver will probably be the number one seed in that regional. We'll say it now.
Okay. That's cool. I'm okay with that.
You know, and it's funny because, and we've said this, we kind of looked at things in a certain way for most of the year. And then all of a sudden now, as we get to the end of the regular season, for some, you know, and we know that some teams are in conference playoffs.
Right.
Okay. Looky at the, your favorite thing to pairwise.
Yeah.
And we know that there's going to be AQs at 15 and 16.
Correct. At least.
Well, yes, at least, at bare minimum.
Yes.
So you definitely want to be above 14, for sure. But let's just, for argument's sake, say that, you know, we ignore tonight in Ohio State beating Wisconsin in the third game of their first-round series in the Big Ten, the first 7 seed to beat a 2 seed in that conference tournament history.
Go figure.
That's your national champion, Wisconsin Badgers, that you kept talking about.
Okay, so hold on a minute here. Let me play conspiracy theorist again.
Okay.
So Michigan is in. Okay. Minnesota's in. Okay. Wisconsin's in. Okay. Michigan State's in. Okay. Guess what? If Ohio State wins the Big Ten tournament, guess where they are? In. Okay.
Well, yeah, but still.
There's no conspiracy going on here.
No, that's. I think that even they wouldn't push it that far.
Well, I don't know. It means a lot to have a lot of teams in there, and they can see the handwriting on the wall that there's going to probably be 5 NCHC teams.
Well, so, yes, but that's not. But right now, the 14th seed team in the pairwise is Providence.
Okay.
So that would still have five NCHC teams in the tournament if the pairwise stays as is.
Right. And then an Ohio State winning of the Big Ten tournament would give you five Big Ten teams.
This is all. That is true.
Okay.
Listen, I'm not. I get that. But, you know, now you're asking one of those M schools to lose. You know, and I don't
They're
know.
They're in the tournament, Paul, and all they care about is producing NHL talent. They don't care if they win the Big Ten championship. It's all about the Big Ten getting some more money by having another team in the tournament. Duh.
No, well, that's no. Now we're getting crazy. We can revisit this when it happens.
Okay. I'll talk to you after the next weekend's championship game then.
Well, like I said, we can revisit this when it happens.
Okay.
I'll
leave it alone for now, but boy, oh boy, you could see this coming a million miles away. So let's go to the team that's not going to be in the tournament that mysteriously had, 24 wins this year?
Is that where we want to start? I don't care we start. All right.
That's where we're going to start.
All right.
So Arizona State goes up to Anchorage. They come back with their 24th win.
Correct.
Two more, by the way, than they needed to get in the tournament a few years ago. And not even getting a sniff. Where are they in the pairwise right now, Paul? Are they 20th?
Yes.
That is ridiculous. That is absolutely ridiculous. How can you win 24 games in college hockey, in NCAA hockey, in 2024 and not even be sniffing the tournament with 24 wins? How many losses, by the way, Paul, did they have?
Eight.
Eight losses. How many of the teams had fewer than eight losses?
Two.
No, not that you did the research.
No, it's just sitting right in front of me. Cornell has six losses, but they haven't played as many games. And Boston College is 28-5-1.
That's a pretty impressive record, by the way. And
I think they're in the tournament.
I think it's a pretty safe bet they're in the tournament, right?
Well, they're probably going to be the number one overall seed. Even if they get knocked out of the Big East, the Hockey East tournament. They'll probably still be the number one seed overall.
I guess.
You would think.
And they're not going to get knocked out of the Hockey East tournament, by the way.
Well, they might not. They might not.
I don't think they're conspiracy theorists in the Hockey East. I think they just let the games play out, and they do what they do.
Like I said, we can revisit this when...
when we will.
When it happens.
Trust me, we will. Anyway.
Listen, ASU played one good game this weekend and one not so good.
Rewind for me for about 4 weeks when they were coming down the stretch and they thought they had to win 8 or 10 consecutive games to get in the tournament. Remember that?
I do.
Okay. And I said, you know what? That's asking a heck of a lot.
It is. And it
was. Many people would say these teams are not that good. And their soft schedule and all of that. Making two trips to Alaska in your last month is not the easiest. And piling on wins when you've already won 20 or whatever they had won at that point is not an easy task either. And running 10 in a row is very difficult.
They were 8-2-1 in their last 11.
Okay, there's nothing wrong with that record. There's nothing wrong with it. And there's nothing wrong with posting 24 wins.
No.
So I'm not surprised that they lost a couple down the stretch because it's hard to win every weekend, every game every weekend.
Yeah.
So, but my beef is with this pairwise thing is they won 24 games, they lost eight, they tied six, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So if you have that kind of a record, you should be entitled to at least participate in the tournament. And if you're not, then I don't know what to do because I don't know how many other teams, independent or not, can win 24, lose 8, and tie 6. I don't know. I think it's just difficult. I think
RIT.
It is. So I'm not even going to fight it anymore. I'm just going to tell you the pairwise is archaic. It's old and it needs to be revised. Because if you don't, you're going to have nobody left that wants to play NCAA hockey. They're just going to stay out because why would you spend the money to not have a chance to have your student athletes play in the tournament?
I will say this. I don't know if it's archaic. I don't, you know, and I can't, but I will say it definitely needs to be tweaked a little bit. I think they need to expand the tournament to 20 to 24 teams. I think they need to figure out a way through that to encourage, and we say it here all the time, to encourage more teams. Because if you have 24 teams.
Yeah.
I know that we've had people on that said 16 is good, maybe 20. You know,
we've had a lot of people, Paul, that have told me on and off the record that 16 is good.
Well, so no, it's not. Not if you want to. Not
okay,
if.
But
you...
let me tell you this: if 16 is good, then you need a major tweak of the pairwise so that you can start getting 24 win teams in the tournament.
You know, listen, you can't tell me, again, and this is not just an ASU thing, because we've been saying this for 2 years, is tell me that Fairbanks didn't belong in this tournament last year. You can't.
I can tell you that, because they did belong
right
in the tournament.
And, does that mean that other leagues are going to get all these extra bids? Yes, it does. Okay, but it also means that let's just go through this and we talk about it just so people understand we're not just talking about one school. RIT right now stands at 24-10-2.
Yep.
Okay. If they don't win their conference tournament, they're not in either.
Nope, they are not.
But at 20 or 24 teams, they still have a shot.
Can I give you a really good reference? Because I'm here at the ACHA National Tournament right now, and they just expanded their field in the M1 division from 20 to 24 this year.
Okay.
And when they did that, they brought in 24 games. Paul, do you know who I watched last night trying to get into the round of eight? Oswego State.
Yes,
they played Ohio, and they went to overtime, and they lost in overtime, unfortunately. Paul, do you know where they were in the rankings when they started the tournament?
They were the last team in.
They were the last team in. They were number 24, right. And they had an opportunity last night at 24 to make it into the quarterfinals of this tournament. And let me tell you, the teams that were in the quarterfinals right now were unbelievable. I mean, we're talking Adrian, we're talking Liberty, we're talking Minot State, we're talking UNLV, we're talking, you know, all the teams that were great. And there were some other teams, Paul, that snuck in. Pittsburgh played today. Purdue Northwest played today in the round of eight. So you can't tell me that parity doesn't exist, and you can't tell me that by expanding the NCAA tournament to 20 or 24 teams that you're not going to have equal to or more quality teams battling to win that national championship. You just can't tell me, because I'm seeing it working in this one. So, you know, and you know what? There's like 70 ACHA M1 teams. So it's not like they have an absorbent amount more than NCAA. Maybe a dozen or six.
Well, that's the whole point, right? And this is why we spent the last year and a half. You know, if you want to say we're fighting windmills, I don't care, whatever. Trying to get people or to have people consider doing these things, expanding the tournament, tweaking the pairwise. Okay, because let's just say we fast forward to next spring. And the NCAA gets rid of the single sport conference moratorium. While we'd like to see it, and we have lots of ideas about realignment, et cetera, that still wouldn't happen overnight. But we know that schools who are not currently at the NCAA level are interested in doing that. And at 20 or 24 teams getting into the tournament, even with a pairwise that's not tweaked, teams that are not in leagues, at least right away, have shots. And a decent shot. Again, we understand that independent teams are not equal, so to speak, off the ice to teams in leagues. But we want to, at least on the ice, give them a shot. Again, I guarantee you nobody wanted to play that Fairbanks team last year. I guarantee you that team was sitting there, and when Colgate won, somebody was relieved that they didn't have to play Fairbanks. And has ASU been at times inconsistent this year? Yes. But do you think that teams, you know, that those one seeds want to play in ASU?
Absolutely not. And you can say inconsistent, but I want to call it parity, because I think that every team, because of the parity, has had challenges. It's not easy to go run the table. Look at the teams that are in the tournament, Paul. Look at the teams that are on the edge right now. When you look at Colorado College and you look at some of the other teams, they had some inconsistent runs, if you want to call it that, and yet they're in the tournament. They're playing for a championship. So I don't want to hear about that. I don't know what I am, but that inconsistency happens, and that's got to do with the parity in the league.
Well, I totally get that. And again, the parity is exactly one of the reasons why they need to seriously consider expanding the tournament.
Yep, absolutely. Okay, so we
now have... listen. Does that?
Go ahead.
I was going to say, does that mean that the favorites won't win most of the time? Sure, they will. You know, you're not going to get too many of your Bulldogs getting in by .0001 and winning the national championship.
Maybe not a lot,
but
the chances are increased with the quality of play that's going on in college hockey right now.
Right, and the question is, do you want to encourage teams to jump to NCAA hockey or stay at the non-varsity level and just keep college hockey at 60 teams? Is that what you want? That's the question you have to ask yourself. People who run the NCAA and run college hockey have to look themselves in the mirror and say, because you can't tell me that more teams doesn't mean more revenue.
Of course it does. Of course it does. That's just being stupid if you don't believe okay. that. But anyway, we could go on for this all night. I don't want to spend the whole night on this because I want to talk about the teams that we are covering that are going into the tournament. I thought it was important because I think ASU belongs there. Anchorage, Fairbanks, Lindenwood, Augustana, they didn't have qualifying years in my mind to make the tournament.
Right.
I think they would tell you that as well.
Right.
Okay, so that leads us to Air Force, which was eliminated.
Yeah.
So they're all done, and they had a pretty good season, but they're not getting into the tournament.
No. Man, they were up winning that game 2-0 last night. They said, all right, we're on our way to a third game tonight. At Cadet
right.
Ice Arena.
Never happened.
AIC pulls the goalie, gets an extra attacker goal with a minute and a half to go in the third period. Right, despite a tremendous first two periods by Guy Blessing. It was just you know, actually, the second and third period where Blessing was still on his head. Air Force actually outshot AIC in overtime, 15-7.
Wow.
Dominated the overtime. He just couldn't beat Nils Wahlstrom for AIC. And you know, eventually, midway through the first overtime period, AIC scores, and it ends that series. And just, like you said, they had a 2-0 lead. And you were feeling good, and it just didn't work.
Let me bounce it back to the ACHA tournament. I commented to several people that this might be the best group of goaltenders I've seen playing college hockey at the ACHA level, the M1 level. They've been just outstanding. And if you don't think a hot goaltender can take you somewhere in a tournament, boy, you are dead wrong, because they can definitely do that. And, you know, it's one of those things where you run into a hot goaltender in a one-and-done, or in this case, a best two out of three, it can be over just like that. So,
of course.
That is the beauty of college hockey, however.
You know,
okay, so Air Force is done. Lindenwood is done. The two Anchorages, Alaska schools are done. And ASU is done. That's our five teams that aren't in the NCHC. The NCHC starts their playoffs right now, and we'll find out. I'm gonna break these down for you, and I'm gonna have you tell me whether you were surprised at all of any of these matchups. Here they are: number one, North Dakota will host Miami. In the same bracket, number four, Colorado College will host Omaha. In the bottom bracket, number two, Denver will host the Bulldogs from UMD. And St. Cloud State will host Western Michigan. So that's the matchups. Are there any there, Paul, that surprised you that you said, wow, I didn't think that was happening?
Well, first of all, if anybody had a chance to watch any of the two games this weekend in Colorado, wow, just give me more of that. The, you know, both games this weekend between DU and CC were just, they were off the charts tremendous. The intensity, the great play. I mean, it was playoff hockey already. And they were playing for playoff positioning, right? If CC had won that game in regulation on Saturday night, they're the two seed and playing your Bulldogs as opposed to Denver. You have a situation where you're going to have some very, very intense matchups. Especially the CC Omaha matchup, because that could drive one of the teams out of the tournament. Like, if somebody sweeps that series, that could knock the other team out of the comfort zone and put them in the 14 spot or lower, which would knock you out of the tournament.
And you keep saying the 14 spot. I know that. There's two automatic qualifiers for sure. But I'm telling you, there's probably a third and maybe even a fourth.
Well, what I'm saying is you're now asking for a bunch more upsets, and I'm not saying it won't happen, but and I'm giving you one out of two.
Okay. Fair enough.
All right. So so now you're sitting here and you have CC at 11. And Omaha at 12. And here's the RPIs. Okay. CC is 5.593. Now, why? And I don't know how this computes, but Omaha is 5.542 and Western is 5.562. Now, why it has the order that it does, I don't know. It's above my pay grade.
No, I can tell you, it's screwy. The system is screwy. They don't. They
but
don't
let's not. But it is what it is.
For wins and losses, whatever.
Whatever. It is what it is. Okay, and I will sit here and say that part of that is Western has 13 losses, Omaha has 10, and CC has 11, as opposed to all the ties.
Okay, whatever. It's still a bunch of crap. But anyway.
Well, whatever. I mean, you're sitting there, and those two teams are close enough to the edge where a sweep does a lot of damage to one of those two teams. Maybe two out of three doesn't hurt as much. Obviously not, but you're talking about a Western Michigan team playing a St. Cloud team, by the way, that is below them in the pairwise at Western Michigan. And I know you how much you love Kalamazoo.
Of course I do.
I know you do.
So is this series at Kalamazoo?
It is.
Oh, I thought it was at St. Cloud.
It is not at the Herb Brooks Hockey Center.
Oh, boy.
It's in front of the Lawson Lunatics.
And Western is in the tournament pretty much, right? I mean, they're not.
They're in the 13 spot. Providence is at 5516. So they are right there. All right, and they're off this week. Actually, they're not off this week, next weekend. The Hockey East tournament actually starts on Wednesday.
And we know they do that just so you can watch games during the week.
Well, and I do appreciate that. it is travel. There's not, you don't have to worry about as much travel.
Somebody just scored here, by the way. I can hear it through the glass. I'm going to guess it's probably Minot State, which I predicted, by the way, that they were just going to roll over Ohio, even though they're deserving to be in there. But anyway, we'll find out.
All right. I mean, the Hockey East tournament is all single games, so you don't have to worry about the travel because everybody's close, and so you know. You have to wait till next weekend for Providence. But, I mean, that's how tight it is. And I could see, again, that, you know, that's that middle series. I'd be shocked, first of all, if the green and white team, the Fighting Sioux, you know, don't take care of business at home against Miami. I would be shocked, although I'll give a lot of credit to your Bulldogs this weekend against St. Cloud, really messing up the final standings in the conference.
Yeah, they're good at that.
Okay.
I don't see them knocking out Denver in a best of three, though.
Not at Magnus. No. Not at Magnus.
I don't see them knocking them off anywhere.
Well, still. You know, if they were playing in Duluth, I'd give them a shot.
I wouldn't.
Still home ice, but
I don't think they're. I don't think that matters when you're not playing very well.
But I those two series I can see being over in two games. Those other two series, the St. Cloud Western and Omaha and CC, I expect CC to win their series, but I would be shocked if it's in two games, unless, you know, both of those games are like overtime games or very tight game. You know, I'm sure they'll all be tight games. But it just, you know, those teams are so close that, that I could see that being a three-game series. Same thing with Western and St. Cloud. I just find it ironic, of course, that the teams I still haven't been sold on all year are playing each other in this first round.
So anyway, all of our NCHC teams that we follow are in the hunt for a playoff spot in the NCAA tournament. And as you just laid out, that means there's going to be some interesting games this weekend. I'm going to be heading my way to Colorado on Thursday And we'll see how Colorado and Colorado College and Denver fare. It's close enough where I can go to one game on Friday, one on Saturday, and then if there's a game on Sunday, I can go to that one as well. So,
if there's only one game.
Right. So on Sunday. If there is only one game?
What if there's two games?
Well, then I have to choose which one to go to.
Well, you'd have to go to CC, I think, but that's just me. Right? Because Omaha.
Because all the what?
Well, because I realize that you have loyalties to your Bulldogs, but, you know.
But I have black and gold everything.
You know, but and they are playing one of our other teams in Omaha, so.
Yeah, I got to see two of them. So anyway, that we'll figure that out. But it's going to be interesting. I think what's happening is exciting for college hockey. I wish the pairwise would play along.
Well, listen, if nothing else, okay, if nothing else, assuming no surprise AQs, right?
Yeah,
Let me finish.
Okay.
Assuming no surprise AQs, just for giggles, you know, it's in giggles. All right? You could actually have it play out in a true bracket without having to make too many changes and almost have an east-west split, so to speak.
Oh, there you go again. Throwing the divide up, aren't you?
Well, I'm just saying, because the way it's set up now, without making any changes, do we want to take a break and then go through this? You tell me.
Yeah, we'll take a break, then we'll come back and go through it, because it's pretty quiet right now. Maybe I can get these partners in before it erupts again. Hold on.
Okay.
It's time to drop the puck on the nation's best college hockey conference. We bring you closer to the action all season long with access to exclusive on-demand content and more than 140 live games. Catch every big goal and clutch save. When you can't be there, we have you covered here. Stream on your phone, computer, or straight to your TV, and don't miss a moment from your favorite team. Subscribe now to watch the best in college hockey at NCHC.TV. If it's NCHC hockey, it's on NCHC.TV.
After a hard day at work or a long week, what's better than good comfort food to put you at ease? At the Spaghetti Shack, we say the answer is comfort food that's made by somebody else. The Spaghetti Shack has taken spaghetti and meatballs, the classic Italian comfort food, to a portable level. ASU alumni owned and operated the Spaghetti Shack has three locations at 6340 South Auroral Road in Tempe, the ASU location at 922 East Apache Road, and 952 West White Mountain Road in Pine Top. For lunch, dinner, or catering as well, call us at 480-687-2485 or order online at thespaghettishack.com.
Passion, talent, development. NCAA hockey offers all that, and its players graduate at a 93% rate. Trevor Zegras.
And they score on the lacrosse move.
Jake Gensel.
Banks it towards the goalie. Score.
Campus before the NHL stage. Whether you're a fan or a player, nothing compares to college hockey.
My goodness gracious,
visit collegehockeyinc.com and follow at College Hockey.
From the Summer Skate Studios, you're listening to ITHSW Podcast's College Hockey West Live.
Whoop, my apologies there. I hit the wrong one.
Crazy. It happens.
Things going on around me. Scott's tonight in Maryland Heights, Missouri.
What do you mean you hit the wrong one?
I played the Summer Skates studio.
All right. Well,
rest in peace.
It happens. By the way, you were wrong.
Wrong regarding what?
It was not Minot that scored.
Oh.
It was Ohio.
It was Ohio, huh? I did talk to Leo Moran the Ohio coach tonight. I didn't get a chance to talk to him last night because it just got too late and I couldn't take a chance with them going to overtime and the old spring ahead time clock change and doing a podcast at 9 a.m. and leaving here at 10:30 anyway. But they did win in overtime, and that's why they are playing Minot State right now.
Right.
The other three teams, I'll throw this out there, that are in the already in the semifinals are an impressive UNLV team, a very good Adrian team, and a very good UCO team. Boy, this hockey just gets better and better, Paul.
By the way, I have to
the better it gets.
I have to apologize to you two cheerleaders for making fun of the fact that you guys picked Vegas to go to the championship game.
Okay, well, let me tell you two things. UNLV got a very favorable bounce the first two rounds.
If they
would have had to play Utah, it may have been a different story, and they did not have to. They did not have to because they were beaten by Missouri State, which I thought was a better matchup for UNLV, and they proved it with a 7-2 victory. Then today they got Pittsburgh, which was another team that was 20th ranked. And instead of getting them or Jamestown, they got Pittsburgh. And that was also a better matchup for the UNLV. So that's how they got there. It gets real tomorrow, though. They could very much end up with Minot State in the second semifinal game. And the first one being Adrian and UCO.
If they win. So,
if what?
Minot State hasn't won yet.
I know. If they win, that's how it could match up. And that
I get it.
That would be a change in as far as how you get to where. But I will tell you that the guys from UNLV are actually motivated beyond belief. I call them plain angry because they were upset that they were not a 4 seed when they've held that spot 3 or 4 the whole year. They were 5. So they were upset about that, and they are making their way to proving everybody wrong. And we'll see. But that's the ACHA side of things.
Right. Well, I just wanted to throw that out there. I just don't want people to think that I don't bring up things when I'm wrong.
Well, you're never wrong.
Usually not anyway.
Anyway.
And by the way, those upsets happened because. I know, but those upsets happened because they expanded the tournament, but that's neither here nor there.
They are not in the national tournament championship game yet.
Right. I know.
They will work towards that tomorrow, but as of right now, they are not, but they are in the semifinals, which means you got started with 24 teams, you're down to 4. So
we'll
find out. Okay.
All right, so here's how this works. If they went by the true bracket, right?
Okay.
You'd have one regional, and I guess it depends on, you can throw them wherever we know that there's two of them that are on the East Coast, so to speak, there. One in Providence, one in Springfield, right? So you'd have one region be BC, Quinnipiac, Wisconsin, and the CCHA winner. The other Eastern Regional, if straight numbered, would be BU, Maine, Michigan, and the winner of Atlantic Hockey.
Okay.
So you move over to, again, everybody's
just tell
assuming,
me where I'm going, would you?
Well, I'm getting to that. You know, one step at a time, because, you know, there are steps.
Okay.
Okay. And where everyone assumes, and probably rightfully so, that although this, I just realized that this might screw everything up, right? Because, and again, this is straight numbers, right? North Dakota, that other maroon and gold team, CC, and Providence would be in, we assume they would be in
Sioux Falls. Okay.
And
who would be coming here to St. Louis, where I'm at right now?
It would be DU, Michigan State, Omaha, and Western Michigan. However,
you can't have three, can you, from the same conference in one spot?
Well, you have to move people around because Omaha, as the host school, would have to go to Sioux Falls.
Right.
So you'd probably have to make two switches here. You'd have to move Omaha and switch Omaha and CC.
What are you trying to tell me? That I'm coming to St. Louis? Is that what you're telling me? I'm going to be
here? Well, I don't know. I mean, but here's where, so now you have some issues, right? Michigan, you can't have Western Michigan play DU in the first round. So they have to be moved. And the most likely move there would be to switch Western Michigan with Michigan. So, because if you move the other teams between them, you're still going to end up with a conference matchup in the first round.
Oh, boy. That's all I have to say is, oh, boy.
All right. So now you would be looking at DU, Michigan State, Michigan, DU, Michigan State, CC, and Michigan, because you're moving them around. And in Sioux Falls, you would have North Dakota, that other maroon and gold team, Omaha, and Providence. Now what do you do? Yeah. Now, forget about anybody else. What do you do? Because now you take it the shorts.
I think you get off the out of the basement and go cover one of those.
Yeah, okay. That'll happen.
Well, then I'm going to if I don't have any place with two teams, I'm going to have to go follow the number one team the way I see it, and that would be North Dakota. So I would be in Sioux Falls. But we'll see.
We'll see
how it all plays out.
Well, I'm just saying, as I sit here and look at it, and because this is what everybody will do between now and tomorrow, right, because the other places that follow college hockey will have their own version of this, and I think that creates the most chaos.
And that's really what you're all about, is chaos. You've made that clear for about 5 years now. So,
and of course, and now we like, and again, and you look at it and you're saying, okay, well then you can't put Providence in Providence because they're not really the host. So, are you going to do that? Are you going to take Providence, who's a four seed, and move them all away to Sioux Falls, take the CC and slide over the Atlantic Hockey and CCHA winners?
I have no idea.
Then you can't do that because BC and Providence are Hockey East. You can't do that.
I don't know.
So now are you going to send them to Springfield?
This whole thing is screwy. If you just go by one loss records and you put those teams in the tournament and then you go ahead and divvy them up one loss records and forget about who plays in what conference. I mean, how are you going to do that? We're just talking here about five from the Big Ten and five from the NCHC.
No. Hold on. No. You're talking about five from the Big Ten. Right now, the Big Ten only has one, two,
three, four.
Yeah.
Four. Until Ohio State wins the Big Ten tournament. Then there'll be five. And probably be five from the NCHC, which means there's only six other teams in the country that get to participate.
Well, again, if that happens, I don't know what the heck the committee would do.
Well, that's going to happen because
I don't know nothing.
Yeah, you do. You're just not saying it. You're trying to create an argument. So what you're trying to do is create an argument.
Would I do that?
By the way,
seriously, would I do that?
No. I'm sure you wouldn't.
And by the way, and our buddy Tom did a bunch of deep dives this weekend.
Uh-oh. Deep dives.
Okay. And he started to look up teams with 23 and 24 wins, et cetera, that have not gotten into the NCAA tournament since they moved it to 16. And a lot of those teams for CCHA teams.
What?
What? Well, what is now the CCHA? They weren't the CCHA then.
Oh, yeah, I didn't think so, but I don't know. I have a headache. This is just craziness. I mean,
I can sit there and
let
I
me
now
tell
have
you
to...
again. Let me tell you again. Why do you play sports, Paul? You play.
Don't
to
you?
Win
no. Don't
the
even.
Game.
Don't do that to me. I think
that's
no,
what
no.
you do. You play to nope. win the game.
Nope.
If the one loss record doesn't matter, then why even bother playing the game? It's just, you know, I don't know. Just have fun games. Have the funsies.
Yeah, all right. Well, no, that's not what we're doing here. You know, we're not going
there.
Well,
then come for your win-loss record. Well, I don't give a rip. I don't give a rip who you played. You played who
was
on your schedule.
Obviously.
No, it doesn't. It does, but it's not supposed to. Because you play who's on your schedule. Sometimes your conference, and I'm going to use conference teams now, sometimes your conference is really good. Sometimes your conference is not so good. Sometimes there's two conferences that are really bad. Sometimes there's two conferences that are really good. So how about you just put the teams that have the best record, because they always surface, they always come to the top, and you put them in the tournament. And
well,
you forget all this BS about, oh, we got to give more points for winning on the road, and we got to give less points if you win but you tie, or it was a overtime win. And that's a bunch of crap. Just play the games and take the winning teams and put them in the tournament.
Well,
they're
again,
the ones that deserve it.
Again, Tom, who's adapting his own nickname of the unofficial stat boy for the podcast.
Nice. Nice. We need a stat boy for the podcast.
Looked it up and said 11 teams with 23 or more wins have not made the tournament since 2003.
Okay.
RIT last year twice.
I still don't like the system at all.
I'm just unofficial, because you know we're not a hundred. I'm confident in his ability, but you know, and Robert Morris twice back to back years.
So that's why Derek is really like, you know what? It is what it is.
Yeah. Michigan State in 2002 and 2003. And I'll just go through the schools. I'm not going to, the years will take up way too much time. But Bowling Green, Michigan Tech, Quinnipiac, Northern Michigan, Bowling Green, and Lake State throughout the 2010s all had 23 wins or more without making the tournament. Okay.
All right. Thanks, Tom. Thanks for ruining my theory.
No problem. Northern, I believe, did it last year, had 25 wins and didn't get in. They, at one point, the year that they didn't get it, that would be 17 and 18, and RIT tied that last year. So, I mean, that's the research he did. I trust Tom is much better with the computer than I am. One stat that he did dig up, though, not to change the topic from the NCAA tournament. Okay. But on Saturday night, we did have history made in Anchorage.
Ooh, I like it. What was it?
Okay. Lucas Sillinger had the first natural hat trick in ASU history.
Interesting. That's pretty cool.
Okay. The only other one that we were able to find was in an exhibition game by our buddy Johnny Walker in those games they played in China. But again,
Johnny Walker, maroon and gold, baby.
But those games, again, were exhibition games.
Okay. Fair enough.
But so that was the eighth or the ninth hat trick in ASU history, I believe, and that was the first natural hat trick.
Nice, very nice.
So, thanks, Tom, for doing that research. Saved me from doing it.
Okay, I'm going to give you forewarning right now. If we've gone 50 minutes, if we go short, it's because the end of the first period just ended, and this place is going to get nuts again. So we'll hang in there as long as we can. But if it gets crazy, and people are piling out in the lobby area now,
we can do that. I mean, like I said, you got to cover the games. you know, we have to. I'm ready to, whenever you are, you tell me.
Okay.
But again, you know, we're into the playoffs now for everybody. No more regular season. This is the time of the year everybody likes. And, you know, there'll be some big-time matchups, and a lot of these matchups will be in a lot of these teams that are on that bubble between 11 and, say, 17, which is Cornell right now, are going to be doing a lot of scoreboard watching above and beyond their own games.
I get it. So let's go back to, as we finish up the show on this note, let's go back to this Denver CC series. For a little while,
yeah,
CC was down, Denver was up, and people were saying, like, oh, yeah, Colorado, it's not the great hockey state that it is. Did this weekend resurge that, Paul? Did you feel better about college hockey in Colorado after what you saw with between those two teams?
Well, you know, like I said, it was a tremendous weekend series. If you didn't like those two games that they played this weekend, you don't like hockey. I just can't make it any simpler than that. If you don't like those games, the Friday night game at Robeson, and where, you know, CC builds that 4-1 lead, and I was actually talking to you during that game, like, you know that no lead is safe with Denver and their ability to put the puck in the net. Okay, and sure enough, Denver gets a couple midway through the third period, right? They get an extra attacker goal with a minute and a half to go in the game, and you could feel the 4,000 people in Ed Robeson Arena holding their breath.
Okay, be careful how loud you say 4,000 in Ed Robeson Arena.
I'm rounding.
I think that's part of the fire marshal warning right there if they go over 4,000.
I'm rounding.
Okay,
because even if you just take the attendance, you know, there are still other people in the building, like the people that work in the building, the people that run the building, the teams, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So
yeah, we get it. There's more people than just the fans.
You could feel those people holding their breath through the TV scene. Absolutely. And a tremendous job by our friends Eric Heinert and Dave Starman on the telecast. Okay. And, you know, Denver scores 16 seconds into that game, and you're starting to wonder. But CC comes right back and gets a goal from Noah Laba coming out of the penalty box. Gleb Vremiev scores midway through as CC builds a 4-1 lead. And you get into the third period, and you're saying, CC scores one more, they can put this away. But Denver, like I said, we know. Their offense and their offensive skill is off the charts. And sure enough, they came back and made, you know, and got within a second extra attacker goal of sending the game to overtime. And then on Saturday night, again, right, you had CC comes out and gets a shorthanded goal. And, you know, for the second night in a row, takes a 1-0 lead, right? In a game that Denver definitely was the better team in the first period, but CC comes back after Denver takes a 2-1 lead, ties it up on a power play goal. Denver takes another lead with about 5 minutes to go in the third period, in the second period, before Ethan Strachey ties the game up with 20 seconds to go in the second period. And now you're like, oh boy, here we go. Right? And just Jared Wright scores the game winner midway through the third period. Just a tremendous, tremendous 120 minutes of hockey. And like I said, if you didn't like that series, then don't bother because you're just not a hockey fan. I don't know what else to say.
I hear you. Well, I can tell you what, there are hockey fans here in St. Louis, and they are thrilled and looking forward to hosting an NCAA regional. So thrilled that we're going to have Tim Ryan on scheduled tomorrow for Tim to join us.
Nice.
We will probably go early if we go live. If not, I'll record the time with Tim, and we'll go ahead and play it on our show. But tomorrow night, there'll be a 2 semifinal games here. There'll be a 4:45 and an 8 o'clock. And then that'll set up a championship game on Tuesday to determine the ACHA M1 champion. The women also get started later this week. Some of the teams making their way here as we speak. So right. We'll have that going on. But I think Tim is going to really provide something as to why St. Louis is becoming kind of a hotbed, because they're going to host the Frozen Four here in a year, right?
Yeah, yep.
So we'll find out what it is about that. This facility here at Centene is beautiful. It's great. It's got everything that you want. Hotel's close. Food's relatively close. So it's a great venue. And I think it's the Enterprise Center that they call it now.
Yeah.
Where the Blues play. Yeah. We'll host the Frozen Four when that comes. But, you know, this is such a centrally located, and almost every coach and player to a person that I've talked to here has said, you know what, let's just keep the ACHA tournament here because it's so easy and so fair for teams to get to. Somebody doesn't have to travel across the country either way when you're playing in St. Louis. Everybody comes to one spot. Even the people of teams around St. Louis like it. So I'm excited to talk to Tim tomorrow and find out a little bit more about how they're managing to do all this, because that's a big job.
Yeah.
We'll find out all about it.
Right. I just really quickly, as long as we're bouncing back and forth, congratulations to South Carolina, who won the AAU championship this today. So,
yes. Yep.
So congratulations to them. You know, we want to make sure that, you know, if you win, you deserve to get recognized, at least to get mentioned. So, you know, we're all about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so here's the deal. I got to go back out and catch the second and third periods of Minot State and Ohio. And then have our whole determination about who's playing who and when. And we'll talk tomorrow. But, again, Tim Ryan from the St. Louis Sports Commission joining us tomorrow. And that'll be a fun conversation. So on
looking
that note, take it away, my friend.
From the NCHC mobile studios, the NCHC.TV mobile studios, College Hockey West Live has been brought to you by Caesars Entertainment Resorts and Casinos Worldwide. It's where the action is, in the resort or in town. Jesse Ray's Barbecue, the best in barbecue Las Vegas style, at 308 North Boulder Highway in Henderson. For the NCHC and NCHC.TV. Subscribe to NCHC.TV and catch all of the action from the toughest conference in college hockey. Tag Creative Group. Search T. Grand Rudd on Redbubble.com and help us help you design that one-of-a-kind gift for you or someone special. College Hockey, Inc., your NCAA hockey resource. The Caesars Sportsbook app. Download the app where available, but please play responsibly. FedEx. Simplify your business shipping with FedEx, the official package delivery company of Icetime Hockey West. And by Liberty University, over 700 programs of study to help you impact your community on and off the ice. Strengthen your faith at our state-of-the-art campus. See us at liberty.edu. College Hockey West Live is live every week on the Podbean app and available along with all of our weekly podcasts for download at your favorite podcast platform. Search ITHSW Podcasts, all one word, to find any of our shows. Subscribe, rate, and review the shows, or tell a friend to help others find the podcasts. College Hockey West Live and all of our weekly podcasts are part of the IcetimeHockeyWest.com network.
Very well done, my friend. I will tell you, many have asked, so I'm going to put the picture out there. The playoff beard is starting for NCAA hockey. Now that the regular season have ended for all 10 of our teams, beard is starting.
Nobody's asked.
I will not shave now until after the Frozen Four or when All of our teams are done, but I think we have a Frozen Four champion coming up this year. So
nobody asked. Nobody.
The list has been extensive.
Well, see, listen, you might want to grow the playoff beard. Certainly, nobody asked you to post a picture of it. That's for darn sure.
They might have, but anyway, we'll talk to you tomorrow for another podcast at 9 a.m. Central Time for the ACHA National Tournament. And then, of course, Paul and I will be back with you tomorrow night. We don't know what time.
Somehow,
yet,
someway.
We know that Tim Ryan is going to be joining us. At least that's what he tells me. So we'll look forward to having him from the St. Louis Sports Commission tomorrow night. We'll say goodnight. Little Roger Klein, the Peacemaker. De Niro, by the way, Andy Storrs, the great music man for ACHA Hockey, played Hello New Day today at my request. And, well, through Chris Perry. But
right.
So, yeah, that made... Roger Klein, the Peacemakers, making a little noise, if you will,
you
at the ACHA tournament. We'll say goodnight. Here they are with De Niro. Good night, everybody.